Hallelujah. Our journey in the spirit is likened unto the kind of transitions that Abraham had to navigate in search of his inheritance. The Lord spake unto him and said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. You notice the details about the place he was going to was withheld. God was hoping to supply those details as a product of fellowship. So every dream he had was significant to his navigation. Every word that came from God formed another section of the map of his navigation. Because his success was tied to his intimacy with God, it was therefore impossible for him to have a quarrel with God. If only we know how dependent we are supposed to be with our God, you will cherish every moment that you have an opportunity to speak into his ears. I say this to strengthen you. The Lord grant you strength as we journey with him. He will take us to that land that has the capacity to support our destiny. Father, as we journey along, we ask that you strengthen us. Let the hearts that are faint be equipped with grace. Let them that are weary be galvanized with your strength. It is written that you give it power to the faint, and to them that have no might, you increase strength. Let everyone have an experience of increased strength in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. We have a distinguished field marshal of the gospel in our midst. And before I bring him up, we'll just try to gain a little mileage in our Bible study. We're considering the way of the watchers, the way of the watchmen. And the intention of the Bible study is to ensure that the depleted ranks of watchmen in our nation and in the body of Christ in our time will be filled up. I trust that we are all hearing the clarion call from God for us to awake and stand upon our watch and ascend our watchtowers. We established yesterday that the reason for which God sets up a watchman is not so that he can pray his prayers, but he can pray God's prayers. And so when we heard what Habakkuk said in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, he said, I will stand upon my watch. He didn't say the Holy Ghost will move me to stand there. He, by an act of his will, he understands that it is his duty to stand upon his watch. And when he stands upon his watch, God now becomes obligated to reveal his heart to him. Because he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. So if you stand upon your watch, there is a guarantee that God is going to say to you. Secondly, he also make available to you wisdom with which you can respond to the questions that are wrapped up in the challenges of life. So there are two guarantees that you have. As a watchman, when you stand upon your watchtower, you can access the present revelation position of the Spirit. And your watching and prayer will be a function of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. If that is your job description, God will go to great measures to wake you up so that you can fulfill this noble task. We also said, number three, that one of the things that watchmen need to look out for are signs. How many of you were in the lecture yesterday? Signs. So turn your Bible quickly to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. And we'd like to take a verse of scripture from a few translations of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. Let's start with New Living Translation. Because of all the translations I consulted, New Living Translation seems to bring that scripture to life in such a way that it will lend us understanding. So we have, do you have New Living Translation? You don't have it on your system. Okay, give me any other translation you have for now, apart from King James Version. This is what American Standard Version. It says, ask thee a sign of Jehovah thy God, ask either in the depth or in the height. Oh, let me give you a New Living Translation. The reason why I didn't want to read it from my own Bible was because you will claim I'm quoting from my head. So I wanted a general one that we could verify its content. But is there anyone in the congregation that has a copy of New Living Translation so that you can confirm my reading? And just in case there is none, then listen to my reading. It says in verse number 11, ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as the heaven, or as deep as the place of the dead. Did you get that? It means that the scope from whence a spiritual sign can come to you is as high as heaven and as low as the depths of the deep. Are you with me? So in our lecture yesterday, we saw signs that we can read, which is in the natural realm. So a watchman must be able to read those signs that we spoke about yesterday. But my lecture for today, the subject of our lecture for today, is to show us signs that are littered across the realm of the spirit that a watchman must need to decode. I hope you followed the lecture yesterday. Now, you are actually enjoined to go pick the sermon and listen to it again so that you can comprehend it adequately. For the purpose of this timeout, we'll be looking at signs from heaven above. You see, the scope, are you with me? The scope of possible avenues where spiritual signs can come from that can educate a watchman to know the movements that are possible in the spirit realm is twofold. First, there can be signs in heaven, or there can be signs on earth. There can also be signs in the deep. So what we saw yesterday are the integers that you can look upon to draw inferences from the manifestation of the Lord in the natural. Today we are going deeper. We are going to consider the signs of the Spirit. Because whenever you are spending moments to commune with God, things move in the spirit realm. And we established yesterday that before God gets to do anything, what he does is that he manifests a sign. And people like Elijah that were trained in the interpretation of spiritual signs could say, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The guy that he was speaking to did not hear anything. But that sign was furnished in the spirit realm. But Elijah had the capacity not just to receive the sign, but also to interpret it accurately. So we are going to do a course this evening on how to interpret spiritual signs. And those signs, they contain intelligence that God wants to pass across to us in order for us to channel the scope of our warfare effectively. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. I know you are not with me, but because you are not with me, we'll go to the book of Matthew chapter 16 to still establish the matter concerning spiritual signs. If you are a watchman, you must be able to read these signs accurately. There are several signs that God will give which is the difference between life and death. You might be traveling to a place, and then God now furnishes a sign upon your spirit. And when a sign is furnished upon your spirit, it's such an impression that you can stand to despise. You're not with me? Hear me again. When God furnishes a sign in the spirit, it is such an impression that you can despise easily. Because it's not domineering. It's just indicative. And we said that spiritual signs do not point to themselves. Just like a signboard does not point to itself. It points to a certain direction. So that impression that comes upon your spirit is not drawing your attention to itself, but there is something that is drawing your attention to. And as minute as that sign might look, it may be the difference between life and death. And if you don't have the capacity to read it, you are likely to become a victim. So we saw signs yesterday, signs on earth, pointing to things that are significant that God wants to draw your attention to. Now, I need to show you signs in heaven. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. You know why I'm doing this? Because the introductory scripture, which is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11, actually reveals the scope of possible things that God can use to give us signs. It can either be in the heights of heaven or in the depths of the deep. That's the scope of possible avenues from when spiritual signs can come. All right, let's do Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Stay with me as we proceed in the lecture. It's getting more technical, but I will take my time to build it so that it will not be confusing. I'm trusting God that after this lecture, we'll be able to interpret accurately the impressions that the Holy Spirit makes upon our heart. I'm talking about non-cognitive communications that the Spirit of God makes available in attempting to bring us into the possibilities of spiritual intelligence. We'll look at all the details and check all the metaphors and all the words that are connected to this matter. We are hoping to access them and to interpret them accordingly. The Pharisees, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he will show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, this was his rebuke. Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? If you have been able to investigate, and when you see the clouds gathering, because rain does not just begin to fall, there are signs that are suggestive of the fact that there's about to be a downpour. Spiritual things don't just happen. If someone is about to die, there are signs that are suggestive of the fact that something of doom is about to find expression. And part of the competencies of a watchman is to be able to interpret these signs. Some of them are signs interpretable in the natural. Others are signs that are held up in the spirit. And Jesus is saying the same level of intelligence that is needed to be able to discern the face of the sky. Not greater intelligence, not greater insight and perception is needed for us to be able to discern the signs of the times. It means that when spiritual seasons open, oh, you are not following me. Oh my God. The Lord will help us. Do you still remember that the Bible says that for every event upon the face of the earth, there is a time? So our God is a God of season. Sometimes when you pray and you demand several things from God, Most times we are discouraged because we don't know how God answers prayer. The answer of your prayer is encapsulated within a certain season. And until that season opens, you will not see the manifestation of the things you have prayed about. Even though in your spirit, when you prayed, you received a sign of peace, which was suggestive of the fact that the matter that you brought before God has been handled. But in terms of manifestation, the manifestation of that prayer is going to come when the season in which God has allocated that performance opens up. Are you still with me? So our God, oh my, I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Our God, therefore, happens to be a God of times and a God of seasons. This scripture is saying that when seasons open up with their attendant power and potential to bring forth the things that have been allocated therein, as the season is opening, it litters signs in the spirit realm, suggestive of the fact that there is a new season that is about to open. So as a watchman, you must be able to interpret spiritual signs that reveal that seasons have opened. If you are going to farm rice, for instance, the implement that you need for initial cultivation is a hoe, just in case you don't have the luxury of mechanized farming. And I know those of you that are watching from America, you may not know what a hoe looks like. I'm not armed with one at the moment, but there's something called a hoe. May the Lord give all of you understanding. I know what you know is a combined harvester and a tractor. But right here, we deal with hoes. Oh. So if you are going to you are going to cultivate rice, the initial implement that you need is a hoe. And then when the season comes, it becomes the season of harvest, you will need a sickle. You see, you need an understanding of the seasons for you to know which implement to take to the farm. If a season opens and is a season for the sickle, and you are still having a hoe, Jesus is rebuking you. He says you are intelligent enough to discern the face of the sky, but you do not understand the signs of the times. And that is the reason why you have a wrong implement. That is the reason why you don't know when to take your journey. That is the reason why you don't know when it's time to fight. You will be doing party when it's time for war, because you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And when you look at the body of Christ generally, you find this comportment, this attitude of celebration, attitude of funfair that is in the body. And everybody's coming to give testimonies and everybody's excited. We lost the rhythm of things long time ago, because such prophetic people that have the capacity, that have enlivening spiritual senses, that are supposed to bring warnings to us, we have not been hearing from them for long. And when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, the Bible says, who will prepare for war? The sound that is coming from most pulpits are not certain. It's not directional. It's not pointing to what is happening. It's just like a maintenance kind of approach. Church is about customer care. Most of the time, it's about management and marketing. And the prophetic dimensions of casting the vision of the present revelation position of the Spirit is a far cry in our time. And Jesus rebukes a generation that lacks the ability to discern the signs of the times. So I want to do something quickly today. I want to take us to heaven. That's my job now, to take us to heaven and show you the tools that are built within your inner framework, namely the activity of the Holy Spirit on your inside and his capacity to give you access to indices that are suggestive of the signs in the spirit. There is a protocol, there is a working of God that is in your inside that you must become very sensitive to as a watchman. Are you still with me? Now, in order to make it, if it's very organic, what I want to teach today is very organic. a little bit technical, but what I'm saying in essence is simple. The technicalities is because of the way it is presented in the scriptures. But at the end of the day, you will understand the organic thing that I'm trying to teach. And then you will be able to understand the language of the Spirit in your inner membrane, even in the crucible of your heart. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, before we begin the lecture, I will need to show you a metaphor. This metaphor gives us an insight into the inner workings of the Holy Spirit upon your heart as He labors to ensure that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened about spiritual matters. Can we do Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 30? Exodus chapter number 28, verse number 30. If you are still with me, say amen. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And there shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Every aspect of the attire of the priests, every piece of his garment, is a metaphor that is pointing to some realities that are captured within the crucible of the New Testament. And so when we study these items in the Old Testament, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to give us insight into its significance as touching our lives as Christians, and how that the Holy Spirit labors to give us illumination and insight of spiritual things. This scripture is saying that part of the items on the breastplate of Aaron, the high priest, that makes him competent to adequately discern the mind of God when he is ministering before the Lord is the Urim and the Thummim. Please help me tell your neighbor, Urim and Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim are actually two gemstones. One is whitish in color and the other is black in color. Are you there? Oh, you are not there. Now, so you see, when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, I know you are aware of that, that if you are outside of the temple where the laver is, your source of light is sunlight. If you move into the holy place where the table of showbread is, where the seven golden candlesticks are, your source of light is candlelight. When you move into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, the tablet of stones are, your source of light is Shekinah illumination. So if we say that the high priest bears on his heart the Urim and the Thummim, and he goes into the presence of God to minister before him, what happens is when Shekinah glory comes, it will fall upon those two stones. Are you with me? You're not with me. It will fall upon those two stones. And if the whitish stone begins to glow, it means God is saying yes. If the blackish stones begins to glow, it means God is saying no. So the priest can be asking God a question, and then suddenly Shekinah light sheds some illumination on the stone and it becomes the whitish one. So he got the answer to his question. You understand that? Now I'm saying that this form of this sensation that makes the high priest knows the mind of God, it is illustrative of what is obtainable in your spirit man now. In fact, the New Testament name for the function of the Urim and the Thummim, is what we call the inner witness. So somebody help me tell your neighbor there's something called the inner witness. So I want to define the inner witness before we begin to journey into details. The inner witness is a spiritual sensation in our spirit man. It is normally referred to as the anointing within. I think I need a scripture to show you what the anointing within is. Then we'll understand the inner witness more appropriately. And I will use several scriptures to show us when there was an inner witness in the life of Jesus and what the inner witness translated into. You see, are you there? We said that a sign does not point to itself, but a sign points to something else. And so if God is giving you a sign, the sign might be loss of peace. But you see, the loss of peace is not pointing to itself. The loss of peace has a meaning. And we said yesterday that you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's the spirit of revelation that made it possible for you to sense the loss of peace. The Holy Ghost is making an attempt to capture your attention. But if you want to know the meaning of the loss of peace, then you will need to employ the spirit of wisdom to unravel the package and the mystery behind this inner witness so that you can understand its accurate intelligence that is drawing your attention to. Is that clear? So we are going to take a few scriptures and you are going to see it, but I need to explain what the inner anointing is. The Urim and the Thummim translates to what we call the inner witness, and another name for the inner witness is the anointing within. The manifestation of this anointing within produces the sensation that we call the inner witness. And the scripture that establishes the anointing within is 1 John chapter number 2. If you are there, turn to 1 John chapter number 2 as we look at the anointing within. If you are a watchman, you don't play with the movements of God within the membrane of your spirit. The things that God makes you conscious of by the Holy Ghost. The activations, the way the Holy Ghost inside of you feels about a matter. It's supposed to provide intelligence to the watchman and make him know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Just to explain what we mean by the anointing within. Are you still with me? Now, I'm expecting that when we come for lectures, you will come with writing materials, you take the notes from the class, and you go back, go through the notes, and pray on the content of the delivery so that you can translate the impact from being on the pages of the note. You want to transform yourself from being a note taker to becoming a partaker. You achieve that in the place of prayer, having fully comprehended the content of what was delivered unto you. Hallelujah. Now, you can come for a lecture like this and you listen to what the teacher is saying, and it's very intelligent, very wonderful, and it will not add value to your life. At this age in my life, that's not what I want. At this age in my life, I want a hybridized model of spiritual growth. Oh my God. That will throw me into the very heart of the workings of God for my generation. Meanwhile, it doesn't take God eternity to do what is eternal. So it is not time-based. It's intelligence-based. I pray that God will open the door and usher you into the place where wisdom dwells. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. He said, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you all things. And is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. This is a very loaded scripture. The scripture here is speaking about an educational system, that God is dwelling in you by his Spirit. And when God dwells in you by his Spirit, God wants to begin to teach you superior knowledge and superior intelligence. You see, there should be evidences that you are in league with a God that knows more than yourself. And part of what God puts in place in order to scale you up and upgrade your possibilities is that the anointing within you is structured to offer you teaching. You see, the reason why we went to the university, how many of you remember why we went to the university? Do you still remember? It's because we don't know anything. We went there to be taught. And when you went there, you were humble, because the guys that were teaching you were professors, they were vast in knowledge. If they get angry, you will lose. If you yourself get angry, you will lose. So humility is advisable. Are you there? You see, the personality I'm talking about is not a professor. It's God. And God, through the inner anointing, wants to begin to teach you. There's an educational system that God wants to flag off in your heart to upgrade you. You may not know how ignorant you are. You are, oh my God. In fact, the way the Bible speaks about your ignorance is it uses the word infirmity. That means you are sick. And your sickness of ignorance is a terrible affliction. The Bible says that the Spirit, what? Helpeth our what? Infirmities. For we know not. The first infirmity mentioned here is a state of lack of knowledge, and it's a sickness. It's a sickness for which we desperately need the Holy Ghost to deliver us. And the anointing within, which is the workings of the inner witness, is a system that God has put in place to enlighten us from God's perspective. And when you are so enlightened, okay, he's giving you an insight of the anointing. He said that anointing is truth. You see, truth is not a statement of fact. Truth is actually a personality. Truth is the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? We're not talking about saying the truth or talking about truth. We are talking about listening to truth himself. And all of that is possible within the framework of the deliverables of the anointing that is domiciled upon your heart. It is through that anointing I knew that my wife was the one I'm supposed to marry. The knowledge you get from that anointing, there is no laboratory you can take it to verify it. It is what we call the knowing of revelation. It is disclosed inside of your heart. The lecturer is truth himself. And in the voice of the lecturer, the Bible says there is no lie. That means you can trust it. So I trusted when the lecturer spoke about my wife. And it's been 14 years journey today. I can tell you, he was right. You know, in the journey of life, you will need to trust somebody. Just like people trusted Satan. Some others trusted the flesh. Some others trusted a lie. Just like somebody was speaking to me today and said, one of his workers went and met the person that gave him a contract. And he told them that he has too many jobs, that the guys that gave him a contract should consider making him in charge of this project, because his ogre has too many jobs. So, and then he succeeded in getting the contract from his ogre. I loved! You know why? No man ever becomes great through manipulation. Oh, it might look as if you are making progress today. But any progress you are making on the ground of manipulation, it is a deception that is ensuring that you will be fully snared. If you are going to advance in life, then you must be in league with him who is truth. Because there is no lie in him. If you want to build a future that will be transgenerational, such that when you are off the scene, in the days of the people you left behind, the momentum of what your life created will be gushing like rivers with seven streams. And people will be wondering the source. It is a covenant that was established on righteousness. The Bible says thy throne, that is the throne of God, is forever and ever. Why? Because the scepter of his kingdom is a right scepter. His throne has longevity because it's the principles of righteousness that is used to build it. Anything that has deceit, manipulation, lies, will only reign temporarily. Are you there? So, but the witness that comes by the Holy Spirit, the Bible calls it truth. He said there's no lie in it. Because it is altogether truth, he's saying you can abide in him. You can trust him. You can trust his witness. You can trust his testimony. And all of this education is taking place in the privacy of your heart. That's the crucible that God has made to educate you by the witness of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right. I need to show you a few scriptures so that I can show you the texture of different forms of inner witnesses that Jesus received. So we are using Jesus as a case study in this evening lecture. We'll start with the book of John chapter 13. I hope you know why we are doing what we are doing. I want to show you signs that are littered in the spirit realm. Because when God moves, what he does is that he litters the realm of the spirit with signs so that those whose antenna are connected to his realm will have an idea of what he wants to do before he gets to do it. That was how Elijah was able to detect the fact that there was a sound of what? An abundance of rain. He gave instructions to people that were around to begin to make movements. He told the king to begin to go home because he knew that there was what? A sound of an abundance of rain. Before God does anything, he sets forth signs so that he can give prior information to those people that are seeking his face earnestly. Have you heard of the scripture that says, surely the Lord will do nothing except he first reveals it to what? To his servants, the prophet. You didn't hear me. It is not every prophet God reveals that thing to. It is prophets that are in active service. Prophets that still keep their watches. Prophets that are still on their towers, trying to press into God. God will be so faithful as to litter the realm of the spirit with signs so that those guys can know beforehand the things that God wants to do. And all of that will take place in the privacy of your heart. Is that clear? All right. So, John chapter 13, we'll begin to read from verse 19 to verse 21. Now before the feast of... Okay, 19. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Next verse. Verily, verily I say, he that receiveth whomsoever I send. Are you there? John 13, 19. Is that what we are reading? 19 and 20 to 21. All right, let's go on. Now I tell you, go back to 20. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. 21. When Jesus at thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, please, if your Bible is not borrowed, can you underline troubled in the spirit? That sensation Jesus had in the spirit was a sign. Are you here? My question is, when things happen in your spirit, do you know? Do you have an insight? Jesus was what? Troubled. He was given an address. And when he made the address, suddenly he was caught up in the spirit and he was troubled. So we want to investigate that experience that Jesus had. Can we do that? The reason why I say it's going to be technical is because we'll have to use Greek words. We can only use the linguistic approach to decipher this mystery. Don't worry, it will not be difficult. The word used there for troubled in the spirit is taraso. T-A-R-A-S-S-O. Taraso. And in my Bible dictionary, the word taraso talks about a troubling inner experience. How many of you here ever had a troubling inner experience before? That's taraso. That's the experience that Jesus had. And I need to tell you the meaning of that experience so that you can relate properly when next you have such an experience. That is a sign in the spirit. And the same way we have the capacity to read and to discern the face of the sky, Jesus is expecting you and me to be able to discern the signs of the times. And the signs of the times can be picked up by impressions that the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart to give you an insight into what is or what is about to come. This experience of a raging momentum inside of your heart is suggestive of an impending danger. Now, I need to tell you from experience. Are you still with me? I need to tell you some things from experience. If the experience that you have is such as is explained here that Jesus has, and he was troubled in the spirit, taraso in the spirit. He was taraso in the spirit, which is an inner trouble, a lack of peace that produces grief. It is suggestive of an impending danger. That experience you had is a sign. And if you know how to read the sign, you will know what the sign is calling for. This type is calling for terrible. It's an emergency. In fact, you need to shut down. You need to switch off your phone and stay in the place of prayer until it is lifted. Sometimes it doesn't get to be lifted 100%. It might be lifted 70%. That means that the danger is going to happen, but God will not allow his full effect to find expression. It's just like Joseph said, that his brothers meant it for evil, but God has turned it. You see, something can be meant for evil. If you mix prayer with it, the outcome will not be consistent with what was intended initially. So when you have this kind of experience in your heart, God is furnishing a sign within you that is supposed to compel you to go to the place of prayer. It's a sign of an emergency. If you ignore it, you will suffer losses. Hallelujah. This is my note. Let me read my note to you. Satan should never take Christians by surprise. The purpose of this sensation, a loss of peace, an agitation, or an inner commotion or trouble, is to warn us and to point us to strategic prayer against the work of the enemy. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 44, you will see that after this impression, the next action Jesus took was that he went into deep prayer. That was Jesus' response to taraso, an inner commotion, a sensation of tumult, sensation of a loss of peace and deep gravity upon his soul. I pray that as watchmen will be able to read the signs and respond adequately so that we can receive help from the Holy Spirit. This sensation is an implementation of the strategies of the spirit of revelation. But I told you that in order for you to come into the full knowledge of things, you need the operation of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. Because this kind of impression comes to you, your spirit can pick it, but your understanding is unfruitful as to what is being pointed at. So you will need to labor in the place of prayer in order to activate the workings of the spirit of revelation. And then when the spirit of revelation opens up, you can actually know expressly what the Holy Spirit is warning you about. Sometimes the Holy Ghost doesn't care to give you insight into what is the matter is. Are you with me? I say, are you there? He doesn't give you insight sometimes. But I tell you the truth, when you finish prosecuting the thing in the place of prayer, it might take 1 hour, it might take 2 hours, it might take 1 day. And if it doesn't finish today, you will still wake up, the thing will still be there. Continue the next day. It can take 3 days before you prosecute it fully. And when you have discharged it, you will feel light in your spirit. That's the first signal. In the Greek, it's called taraso. And it's a sensation of agitation, of commotion. In fact, the direct interpretation is rolling water. You know, when you begin to boil water, it is still. Huh? And then when it begins to boil, it begins to... So that's the sensation that you have inside of your heart. It is a strong sign that God gives when he's attempting to draw your attention to a pending danger. I will do another one quickly. John chapter 11, verse 33 and verse 38. John 11, 33, 38. I will show you another inner witness. Because not all inner witness is the same. Some are suggestive of a very terrible danger. That's the one I felt a few weeks ago. And I understand that drill. So I went for a 7-hour prayer to prosecute it. Sometimes you pray for 8 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. It doesn't go. And then you sleep with the sorrow. Then when you get up again, the sorrow is still there, and you begin to prosecute it. You empty a day, 24-hour day. Sometimes it takes 24 hours of prayer to empty, sometimes 6 hours. But I'm telling you that this is an emergency. An emergency is something that when it comes up, you need to leave other things to attend to it. This is one of such things. Jesus said, just in case we have the capacity to read, discern the face of the sky, and we cannot tell the signs of the times, he calls us hypocrites. Because it's the same level of intelligence that is needed to discern the face of the sky that is needed to discern the signs that are in your spirit, man. I pray we will not be blind watchmen. That the signals that God is making available will spur us into strategic action in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you there with me in the book of John chapter 11? I want to read verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw the weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That experience of groaning in the spirit was exclusively an act of the Holy Ghost. It was not him trying to do something. The spirit inside of him groaned. How many of you know when the Holy Ghost inside of you groans? This is not you groaning, no. I'm talking about the spirit inside. He groans. And then after the groaning, he left Jesus troubled. It's a sign. Are you there? I said, are you there? All right, jump to verse 38. Jump to 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning. He groaned before, and now he's groaning again. He groaning in himself. Come into the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. I remember I was to travel to Abuja, and I went to Benue Links. When I went to Benue Links, I paid for a ticket. And I was given a ticket. I went and sat in the bus as the first passenger. I lost my peace. Because I've practiced a little in that area. And I went back to the man at the counter. I returned his ticket. I asked him to give me my money. He shouted and concluded that I was mad. I didn't respond to him? He said, because I made him cut the ticket, he's going to give me my money less 100 naira. I didn't say anything. He gave me what he could give me. I stood by the side there. That bus got filled. Then I came again. I wanted to buy. So he concluded that I was mad. He was suspecting before that I was mad. But when I came again, he concluded that, behold, a madman. So this time, having confirmed that I was mad, he didn't shout again. He was very nice. He gave me a ticket. It was at Akwanga. The guys that boarded the first bus, they bought bread, a lot of bread. Almost finished the bread in the park. When we got to Akwanga, there was an accident. The only thing in the vehicle was what? The bread that they bought. People in the vehicle were saying, I was there. I knew better than them. The reason was because Jesus gave me is a watchman that cannot read signs. Jesus calls him a hypocrite. If you know how terrible this devil is, you will take every movement of God in your spirit very, very seriously. What occasioned this matter was that Jesus was brought to the tomb of Lazarus and he heard people crying, and instantly there was a groaning inside of his spirit. Well, this word is more technical. Don't laugh, but I want to read the Greek word. This is called embryomai. Don't forget about the big word. But the meaning of the word is what concerns me and you. Because it's through that you can understand your own spiritual experience. The meaning of the word is, because the word means warning. This word. It means one meaning is warning. Right? Because I will show you other scriptures like Mark chapter 1. I will show you when Jesus warned somebody and it was that same word. Huh? I will show you another scripture in Mark chapter 8. That same word was used. But this time, it was charged. Jesus charged them. It was this same word that was used. Jesus warned them, that word. Jesus charged them, that same word that was used. And what exactly is this feeling? This feeling is a feeling that comes upon your spirit when God wants you to take authority over a situation. The situation that was befalling Jesus was the death of Lazarus and the tomb that he was buried. When they brought Jesus there, he heard the cry. He was irritated by it. His spirit was troubled because of how helpless the people were. And the Holy Ghost was rising inside of his spirit so that he would take authority over the situation. How many of you have ever been at the airport and you just see a crippled person being wheeled? And if you can be foolish for once and follow the sign that the Holy Ghost is bringing, you will see evangelism at the airport. Something strange will take place. I remember I was preaching somewhere and there was a guy that was crippled just standing there. I wanted to leave him, but even if I turn away from him, it's as if I'm still looking at him. I know it is easier for a preacher to ignore things that are calling for attention and just say, you are released by faith. That's not how Jesus did it. There was a move for me to take authority over the situation. And I felt it was just, it was just modest for me to ignore that anything like that existed. But the Holy Ghost will not let me rest. He will not let me. So I just say, okay, let God be true and let every man be a liar. I now left the pulpit, went down and started walking. And when I got close to the man, I didn't even look at him. I just tapped him and continued preaching. I said, I don't try, Holy Ghost, I don't try. Guess what? The man began to follow me. All I brought to the table was, that was all Jehovah wanted me to do, just touch. And then the Spirit of God released strength into his legs. And the man began to follow me. People would think I was such a powerful man. They didn't know how much I struggled. But that struggle I struggled, and the result that took place thereafter, it ushered me into the miracle ministry. That working miracles is not a product of a great preacher. It's a product of a great God and a man that is so weak that he can yield to his spirit. When Jesus wants you to take authority, there's a way he rises in your vessel. He wants you to warn the sickness. Take charge of the situation. There's a way he rises. And he will rise like that in seconds. If you don't plug into the energy will die. There are many crippled people that are still crippled today that are not supposed to be crippled. The reason is because the watchman that was on site refused to plug into the energy that was coming from God. There are many dead people today that are not supposed to have died because there was a watchman that God was hoping to get his attention. And he felt the right thing to do was burial. And so he couldn't even afford God the opportunity of an opening so that he could display his omnipotence. When God wants to move, he litters signs in the realm. He needs men that can partner with him and understand the language of the Spirit. What needless pain we bear. All because we cannot plug into the energy of the Holy Ghost. When God is sad, we are excited. When God rises to judge, we slip off. The circuit is always lacking connection. And so even though God has good intentions, it's not translated. But I pray that your life will not be the reason for which the circuit cannot be connected. That you put yourself last and say, let God be true and let every man, including myself, be a liar. Let me be put to shame today as I go out to obey God. If you put yourself last, God will become king. He will become champion. He will make for himself a great name. Came for a meeting and I didn't have the time to go and change and come back. So I came into the meeting with the garment of my travels. And you need to see how strange that garment was looking because of the way the road was. The people in the place judged me by my appearance. And they saw that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. But you see, the way you look outside, even the configuration of your face, I'm not so handsome. So I know you may not expect much seeing my face. You know what? But my spirit is strong. And in the midst of all the way they looked at me, the Holy Ghost did not behave like them. Instead, the Holy Ghost he noticed what they did. And in my heart, he rose up like a champion. Hey, I stood on the pulpit and 14 deaf people began to hear. Do you know that the person that invited me ran away? The person that invited, he ran away from the place, from the field. The hand of God was powerful. It is not a preacher that is so strong. The job of the preacher is the job of a watchman. To watch to see the movements of Jehovah. And to plug in so that he can make a great name. I pray that God will stir you up tonight. And even in the night time, when he quickens you from your sleep to stand and represent him, that you'll be there to connect the circuit so that he can stretch forth his hand and perform his counsel. We'll continue in the lecture subsequently. But the Urim and Thummim, that instrument that gives you access to know God's mind about a matter, even with spiritual language in your inner vessel. May the voice of the Thummim and the Urim not be silent. May the Lord give you wisdom to be able to decode the signal he's transmitting within your vessel. Within your vessel. In the privacy of your spirit. So like the prophets of old, you can stand and say, the Lord speaks. Not because you heard an audible voice, but you could interpret the sign as a good watchman. May our capacity in spiritual intelligence be multiplied, so that the least among our number can become as strong as David.